It's midnight on Halloween and I'm wearing death shrouds. So you know what that means?
Time to bust out some wooden stakes.
Well, it's either time for the Sucks podcast or I'm turning into a vampire and it's time for the Sucks podcast.
I see what you did there.
I'm your host, Brad the Impaler.
And I'm your host, Demon Dave.
And I'm producer Joe Rugori.
Okay. Should we just scrap this entire podcast idea, guys? No, let's keep going. This is usually a podcast where three idiots and friends talk about design, intentional and otherwise, and all the ways that UX,
user experience design,
impact us every day. But I'm afraid today there's no more room in hell. So the dead roam the earth. The boogeyman is under your bed and madmen walk the streets.
So today we're going to have to kick some monster ass.
Hell yeah. Fellas, how you doing?
Should we say we're recovering from Halloween Ends?
Yes, we should absolutely say that, Joe. But before we do, I'd like to take note that you have once again put in bold letters, not SATC, which stands for Sex in the City. And I would like to add that once again, I can inject some Sex in the City because Laurie Strode was very much Carrie Bradshaw in this movie. There's the typing and looking out the window, a lot of voiceover. I felt like...
Is it possible to survive in Haddonfield?
And just like that, Michael Myers is no longer a part of my life.
Yeah. You said that he was a little bit like the Big.
He's Big.
Laurie Strode's Carrie Bradshaw.
Right? Am I right there? Well, yeah, life is going normal, mm-hmm. And then he comes back in to fuck it all up.
I love how you always find a way to bring Sex in the City into this podcast ostensibly about design. It's pretty incredible.
I would never do it, but somebody keeps prompting me. It's like you're teasing me to see if I can bring it in. But let's talk about.
I think
that's
producer Joe. I did not put not Sex in the City in the script here.
I think secretly wants it. Hey, let's talk about this movie.
Nothing I want less.
Let's talk about this movie because it was so bad, guys, and it ties into this episode.
Disclaimer. We are going to do some spoilers here, so if you don't want any spoilers, Skip ahead. But honestly, I think what we're doing is saving you from this movie.
I was really hoping to have, I mean, as a kid who's grown up on these films, right?
Yeah.
And has gone to the theater to see so many of these, you know, Jason and Freddy and Michael Myers, and I love this shit. And I was like, okay, yes, this is going to be the definitive end. They're going to put the nail in the coffin. They are going to, like, really go over the top. I mean, if I were doing this movie, I would have a lot of fun with this movie. But instead, let's talk about Corey. Yeah, no spoilers. Michael Myers gets chopped up in like a car grinder. Who cares? Who cares? That's the what you came for, and that's all that you get. Because let's talk about Corey. Because the whole movie is about some rando teenager who has the issues and falls in love. It's like a love story, kinda, that doesn't work.
What it is they've decided to remake Jason Goes to Hell.
Oh God,
which is the worst of them all. Right?
You're right.
So that's their inspiration. The whole story is Michael Myers transferring his spirit into this lame-o dude, Corey.
Kinda. They never explicitly say, at least Jason goes to hell. At least Jason goes to hell. Two things. They explicitly do that, right? Like the people get like mesmerized and you can tell, oh, their eyes gloss over.
Well, he
like,
doesn't go to hell.
Right.
He goes to a sewer.
Brad has a really
90-second CGI animation screensaver.
And two, you get multiple people. So it's like Invasions of the Body Snatchers. Like, it's bad. Don't get me wrong. Like that scene where the SWAT team comes down and they start shooting up Jason and a missile comes out of nowhere to blow him up.
Uh-huh. Okay.
But yeah.
We'll get into all that later, but like, okay, here's the thing. I am really shocked that this movie didn't have a Peacock original title card right at the beginning because this plays like something they produced for $800,000 in 2 weeks for Peacock, and I'm pretty sure that that's not too far off the mark.
I have seen like made for Sunday matinee TV like genre movies that were better than this. That would have actually been
It's like they went out of their way to make a bad movie. Like you're like, let's take the person you've come here to see,
right,
shelve him, mm-hmm. and the hero and the protagonist, Laurie, mm-hmm. for like three quarters of the movie, talk about some rando dude.
And dude, it's rough.
Let's just say the cold open, by the way, fucking hooked me right away. I love that cold open. It was amazing.
Yes.
Cold.
Because it was so unexpected, right? It was so unexpected. Now, that I won't give away. Watch the first 10 minutes of this movie. Shut it off. Don't pay for it. Shut it off or fast forward to like the last 2 minutes of the movie.
Right. Like, I mean, we're the idiots who paid money for this. And by the way, you know how much I paid for parking? $30.
Oh. Wow. I paid almost 40 just to Uber there and back.
Hey, I made out the best. I went to one of those lots down the way.
Downtown LA.
For 10 bucks. Right. Well, we did it for you folks. And that's a great segue into like users go to our Patreon. Patreon, our pod sucks. And give us some money so Brad can pay for his parking.
Can I have a counter argument here that they not do that?
I know. It's
this is not a poorly thought out idea, man.
It's not work for you, Brad. I've got to come up with bonus content and the goodies to send them. Although I think if we just send cream of corn, that should suffice.
Just sounds extend like more work for us. So yeah. our listeners, our users, they either need to all go and subscribe to Patreon or none of them. Like right now, I think we have like five patrons on Patreon. That's a disaster. That is a poor business.
Whoa. We appreciate you, though.
Of course we do.
Okay. They're listening, Brad. We appreciate you.
That's for sure.
Just make your friends do it, too. What the fuck? Holy shit. Oh, my God. What are these things?
What? They just ate our intern, not Justin.
We have an intern?
And we did.
They're eating him. Justin, they're eating his guts. What the fuck?
I don't see how we're going to get out of this one.
Guys, let's not panic. I have one ace in the hole. I sent a telegraph to an old friend, a colleague, and a mentor who might just be able to help. Oh, God. Let's take a quick break. We'll pay some bills, and we'll come back alive or we'll come back dead.
Hang on. Okay, who's there?
David, my friend, I am anxiously expecting you. I have crossed oceans of time to find you.
Yes, I got something cooking. Who is this?
It is I. I am Dracula, of the Order of the Dracul, the Dragon, an ancient society pledging my forefathers to defend the Church against all enemies of Christ. Their relationship was not entirely successful.
Okay, look, we're not, I mean, I don't know what church you're with, but I'm not interested. Okay,
no laughing matter. We Draculs have a right to be proud. What devil or witch was ever so great as Attila, whose blood flows through these veins? Blood. What? May I come in, perhaps, for a drink? I have already eaten and I never drink wine.
My dude, I don't know. No, that sounds like a terrible idea. Although I am making some pasta. The wine would be good. I don't think I brought any wine.
I notice, my friend, that you have simply safe home security. Perhaps it would be best if you were to invite me into your beautiful...
Well, it's funny you say that, Dracul, because Simply Safe keeps watch outside, and it keeps me safe inside. Simply Safe watches over everything day or night in full color HD, so I get real protection from my front lawn to my backyard, and 24/7 protection.
That sounded like a mandatory call to action. But really, 24/7 protection, that is pretty good.
Right? It's why experts choose Simply Safe Home Security. It's the best home security overall, rated by U.S. News and World Report, and by Popular Mechanics and more.
Wow, that is very nice. I have recently purchased a property in London called Carfax Abbey. Perhaps I should invest in Simply Safe there. I have some precious things to keep safe.
Well, Count, if you want to visit simplysafe.com and use the promo code SUCKS, not S-U-X this time, buddy, it's S-U-C-K-S, it might, but probably won't, save you 15% or more.
I see what you did there. I will visit simplysafe.com and thank you for your friendship.
Oh, hey, before you go, I actually found a bottle of wine. You want to come in?
Oh, you're inviting me into your home.
Come on in.
You are my servant.
And we're back. As a reminder, when we left, monsters were breaking into the Sucks podcasting offices. They're still here. I sent an emergency telegram to an old friend for help, but it looks like he didn't get it. Whoa.
A goddamn monster hunter just came in.
Nick Creature, you got my telegram. Thank God. You saved us, buddy. And fuck, sweet-ass crossbow, dude. Thanks for coming.
Gentlemen, anytime.
Oh, my God. Nick Creature, as I live and breathe. All right, fellas, I don't know if you know Nick Creature, but let me intro him for you. Nick is an award-winning professional screenwriter. He's a dear friend who just saved our necks. Nick has written for most of the major studios across many genres, but he has a keen interest in horror. He's written for Paramount, MTV, Electronic Arts, and other studios. He's been featured in the Wall Street Journal, as well as a host of industry insider publications, and he has drawn the ire of many a major motion picture icon. Speaking of which, Nick's excellent script, The Mayor of Shark City, about a young Steven Spielberg filming the movie Jaws, was awarded a position on the coveted Blacklist. And I'm proud to say that I had a small hand in working with him to develop that material. In my career as a development executive in Hollywood, working with Nick was just about the only time that I found any sort of rewarding aspects of that job. We also wrote a critically acclaimed and commercially disastrous video game based on the Naked Gun for Paramount together. And he and I are part of a secret cabal of industry execs and nerds. And I can't recommend his writing enough. Nick Creature, thanks for joining us, buddy.
Thanks, Brad. It means a lot. It's all lies, but I'll just go with it for now.
Not at all. Not at all. Especially the part about drawing the ire of many Hollywood icons. That's definitely
it. That's the only true thing.
And for your bona fides, Nick, now that the sort of bit has ended, you're in your office. Behind you, I see a Creature of the Black Lagoon Marquette behind you, so a part of a pinball game, I think. Super cool stuff. You got sleeve tats of all the creatures. You have serious bona fides for this episode.
Yeah. When I show up at the studio, they think I'm there to park the cars.
All right. So, Nick, you saved our ass with some serious monster hunting, and that is our topic today. The UX of monster hunting for this special Halloween episode. We're going to talk about all the different types of monsters and how we're going to defeat them. And as usual, I figured we'd start with some user requirements.
Love it.
So,
let's
Dave,
do it.
What is a user requirement for monster hunting?
I think it's, as a user, I want to survive the night.
Okay.
That's about it.
Simple. Right. All right. I wrote us some personas, some user personas for what we're talking about when we're talking about monster hunting and surviving the night. I'll go first. I'll read one. And then Dave and Joe, we can go round robin. Here's the first. Lori. Lori is a babysitter and a virgin. Her friends think that she's a prude. She's very worried that her friends keep mysteriously disappearing while her friends party, do drugs, and have sex.
Jack. Jack is a jock who loves picking on nerds and going to the lake with his girlfriend to have sex. He thinks he's really tough and could never imagine being impaled by his own baseball bat.
Frank is a sketchy businessman who is keenly interested in ancient Sumatran artifacts and puzzle boxes. He believes there's one of mystical power that will give him wealth beyond imagination if he can unlock it. Totally unrelated, he's heavy into BDSM.
Henry is a doctor who believes that he alone can conquer death through science. His experiments so far have proven unsuccessful, and the villagers think his hubris is an act against God. He'll show them. That's cool.
Can I just stop really quick? And yeah. I hate doing this, but because Jack is the jock who loves picking up on nerds, I do have to tip my hat to Halloween Ends for creating the first time ever, breaking stereotypes and giving us band bullies, because they act like jocks, but they're part of the marching band.
What?
Yes. Nick, I swear to God, don't see the movie, man. But
I'm not going to. You know, like I have my issues with all the remakes. I'd go on a limb and say the zombie remake of Halloween is a hell of a lot better. I have problems with that movie too.
Yeah.
But pound for pound, I think that the Haddonfield remake stuff in the zombie Halloween movie is a misunderstood masterpiece.
Really?
The first half of that movie is a disaster where you try to explain why Michael Myers is a killer and all his childhood stuff.
Yeah.
But when he gets to Haddonfield on Halloween night, Really? He swings for the fences. I mean, that's worth a revisit as well. Mm. The remake portion, it's the Rob Zombie remake that he did. I think it was 2009 or 10 or something.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
that sounds about right.
There's a couple of them, right?
But yeah, he did two. Don't worry about the second one. But pound for pound, that Halloween Night remake stuff is incredible.
Cool. Well, I guarantee you it's scarier than anything that
absolutely
Green did, because there's nothing frightening about any of that.
But are there band bullies? That's all.
No.
So Nick, swear to God, it's the band bullies. They're band geeks. They're wearing band marching band pants.
That's something you see in the Naked Gun. Speaking of Naked Gun,
it was so. And every time they came on screen, we cheered. We were like, band bullies.
And they drove a LeBaron.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, his hot sports car was a Chrysler LeBaron.
Okay, guys, I threw us off. Should we get to the user journey?
No.
That's not important.
Talking about band bullies is way more important than anything else we're going to talk about on the podcast. Okay. User journey, as we've seen, creatures are breaking into our podcast studio. We want to stop them. We're going to have to craft a plan of action to deal with multiple monster types, including vampires, zombies, werewolves, sadomasochist sex demons, or Cenobites, nightmare child murderers, maybe some cryptids, unstoppable but maybe mortal killing machines, evil dolls. Ooh. We're going to talk about how to stop all of these.
Sure. Let's start with vampires, right? The reason I want to say here is rules-based monsters. Let's go with those first, because those I think are the easier to kill.
Absolutely.
Okay, we're faced with undead bloodsuckers. What's the plan?
Okay. Well, Nick, traditionally, what do you use to combat vampires?
Traditionally,
in your experience,
you go with the norm: garlic pizza, steaks.
What is steaks? Not T-bones, right?
Yes,
I was gonna say something like cancer patients, like leukemia, or like just like giving them rotten blood or something like that. Shit. But I don't know. You should, how dark you want to go?
Have they done that in the movies?
No, that's not brilliant. Yet. But I was working on it in a zombie movie. But it wouldn't like the people wouldn't be eaten because they had chemo and they were just. They can move freely throughout the dead without.
Because
they wouldn't touch them because they could tell there was something wrong with their flesh.
Wow, that's pretty interesting.
That is interesting.
Yeah, that's a different angle.
Sorry to bring the room down.
No. I think we're all thinking like,
no, that's brilliant writing. Genius. That's brilliant writing. Maybe we shouldn't put that out there.
Maybe for zombies, you could infect them with disease. You know, like, is there a way that you could like spread disease across the zombies? You know,
oh my God, a zombie film during COVID.
Yeah.
And they're all like dropping like flies.
But COVID's made up. That's not a real thing. That's fake news. All right.
It's all respiratory anyway.
Vampires. All right. You said garlic. You said garlic pizza. You said wood steaks.
Holy water.
I just watched one of my all-time favorite Halloween movies, monster movies, Bram Stoker's Dracula. And in that film, spoiler alert, they kill him by a big Bowie knife to the center of the chest. They slash his throat, and then Mina beheads him.
Yeah, that's the Captain Kronos philosophy, a sword forged with holy steel.
Nice. I haven't read the book since I was a teenager. Was there anything special about that Bowie knife or like what they attacked him with? Does anybody remember?
I haven't read it since I was a teenager.
I haven't read it since like ninth grade.
Right, same.
Summer reading list.
Yeah.
Okay, so you can behead a vampire.
Yeah.
Because they do that multiple times in the
book. And that comes from original like lore, you know, like people that thought people were coming back from the dead, they would basically, to prevent them from getting out of their crypts at night, they would go drive a stake through the heart, cut off their heads, and then rebury them.
And guys, but, this is just in the news. Did you guys read this news story last week? This is a real thing. They uncovered this body, you know, this grave, and they had like a guillotine or some sort of blade at her neck. It was a female corpse, and there was a blade at her neck in case she rose from the dead.
She
didn't get cut. This is a real thing that they uncovered. They uncovered this grave.
How old was the grave?
Hundreds of years old. I can do the research and
just hundreds.
There,
wow.
Yeah.
Oh, I would. I mean, I would probably go with wooden arrows and bow and arrow or crossbow. I mean, keep a safe distance.
Well, you're an archer, Joe, so you have a pretty sweet compound bow.
Yeah.
So I think that would be your weapon of choice.
Yes. Yeah.
In our monster squad. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Garlic tipped hollow points.
Yeah, man.
For me, I just wouldn't I would invite him into my house.
Just keep the door locked.
No. He'll ask to come in. Yeah. Isn't that a thing?
And yeah, that's a thing.
No, sir. No vampires allowed here.
Plus, with your Simply Safe home security system, I think that you're covered. I'd go with a big ass sword. If it's today, I'd go with probably a combo of sword and maybe a gun to slow it down, and then slow it down with bullets, and then get close enough and chop its head off.
Yeah. Okay. So that's the only way. Chop the head off. It's not the sword in the heart doesn't do anything because it's not silver. We'll get to werewolves. That's werewolves.
Yeah. I do think that there is some precedent with silver being a deterrent for vampires. Okay. Isn't there like something where they put like a silver coin on the vampire's head and that burns them?
Mm.
I feel like that's.
I don't know. I feel
like Blade does silver too in all the old Marvel stuff. Yeah. Blade uses silver like that. The werewolf vampire stuff is kind of interchangeable.
Yeah. Hey guys, if you look at that in real time, doing research.
Yeah.
And. Out of all places, National Geographic has an article on how to kill a vampire.
Nice.
One, garlic. Two, mirror and sunlight. How do we forget that, guys?
Oh, of course. Right.
Yes, you got to have sunlight. Crucifix and holy water.
Because in all the modern day movies, they have the vampires wearing sunblock and walking around in the sun.
That's true. So yeah,
that's true. Daywalkers.
They glitter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crucifix and holy water. A stake through the heart and decapitate and burn. Mm-hmm. Wait, one more. A brick, stone, or vine between the teeth. Let's talk about this.
I've not heard this.
That sounds highly impractical. How am I going to get a vine between the teeth of a vampire? You're like, are you flossing?
I don't know. I was going to say, go to the dentist, and the dentist is like, I got you now.
And the other thing comes back to, what vampires are we talking about? Are we talking about these like sexy Euro trash vampires that just like kind of stare at you pensively? Or are we talking about fucking monsters like John Carpenter's vampires?
It's pretty much all across the board, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm thinking more traditional, not the sexy vampires.
How about the ones that live on the beach?
Not the sparkly ones.
Yeah. Ones that live on the beach and drive motorcycles and eat Chinese food?
Oh, Santa Carla.
Worst part about Santa Carla is all these damn vampires.
I love that movie. Yes, I love that movie. I took my kid to Santa Clara. Well, it's Santa Cruz. But I had to take him there and put him on the rides. You got to do it.
Oh, and by the way, like Santa Cruz pretty much still feels like it's overrun by vampires.
Oh, yeah. It is, Brad.
Right.
What are you talking about? Feels like. Hey, guys, I'm not going to read all this, but the brick, stone, or vine between the teeth actually goes back to like the Black Plague.
Yeah.
Users should get on nationalgeographic.com and look for .org and look for how to kill a vampire, because this is pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Like they thought they're going to prevent the Black Plague because vampires. I don't know.
Okay,
guys, should we move on from vampires?
I think we should. We got a lot to cover. Zombies. Maybe werewolves is more organic because Nick mentioned that they're sort of interchangeable with how you combat vampires and werewolves. Let's use werewolves next.
Yeah, let's talk about werewolves.
All right. Traditionally, we're talking silver. We're talking about silver bullets. That's as I understand it. I've seen the historical werewolf movies, the Universal ones. I haven't seen like the 80s ones in a minute. Like, what is it? The Howling?
Mm-hmm. Silver Bullet, man.
Silver Bullet. Yep.
Yeah.
The movie Silver Bullet, or a book.
No, you got Wolfen. There's a few.
Right.
American Werewolf in London.
Good movies, man. I got to go back and watch these.
But yeah, they go with the silver bullet method. I think that vampires and werewolves, like I said, are interchangeable. I know that I've seen a few things where they use like crosses and garlic as well.
Yeah.
Or you could just break the curse completely. I think that the Skyrim method of finding the witches responsible and chopping the heads off and drowning them in the fountain to cure the curse is probably my favorite.
Find the head vampire and cure all of the sub vampires.
Yeah. Right?
Or werewolves. Yes. Either.
Right. And a lot of times they'll say like only the silver bullet. I can imagine like beheading any of these like humanoid cryptid legends is probably going to do the trick.
Yeah, let's say the Halloween Ends method will work for any of these creatures.
That's right.
It wouldn't work for nightmare child murderers.
Yes.
Yes.
Good. And it might not work for evil dolls.
So go to a car junkyard or whatever this place was that Corey worked at. I think that's his name.
I can't believe that you're still referencing this movie that no one in the right mind is going to see.
Dude, this movie has been on my mind.
That does work for nightmare child killers, because Freddy was buried in the junkyard, in the car graveyard. His bones were buried in that.
But it didn't work.
It didn't work. Yeah, you're right. Well, that's only because the dog pissed fire on him. So he brought him back to life.
Which one was that? Freddy's dead? I can't remember.
That's four. Oh, that's the Rennie Harlan one.
That's right.
That was the Rennie Harlan one.
Dude, that's worth the revisit. That's the best one.
Well, it's a toss-up between 3 and 4.
Oh,
Dream Warriors.
Dream
is
Warriors.
Good.
Yeah,
I thought it was Dream Warriors.
Dream Warriors is great. But back to werewolves. my favorite method would be the Silver Bullet or the movie Silver Bullet.
Yeah.
Get Gary Busey. And, that's how you kill a werewolf.
So, what did Gary Busey do in that movie?
Silver Bullet, but it was Gary Busey. It was back when he was a badass before all his accidents and troubles. And
I would still take Gary Busey. Like if a werewolf busts in here, my first call is Gary Busey, and I'm pretty sure I do have his number.
my go-to at the top of this list for every one of these things is call Tom Atkins and problem solved.
Right, you referenced Gary Busey yesterday, didn't you?
Something
to do with the movie. You're like, oh, it could be Gary Busey today.
I don't know. I referenced Gary Busey.
That might have been a trailer. Oh, it was that the Santa Claus movie. I'm like, nobody else could do this.
Oh, no, I said Nick Nolte.
Nick Nolte.
We're talking about the David Harbour Santa Claus movie, which looks fucking incredible.
Yes.
And we were saying what we were saying was that it was sitting right there because we think that they took the inspiration from Ho, 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 Now I Have a Machine Gun.
Yeah, because it's Die Hard. But with Santa Claus, it's like right there.
I'm cautiously optimistic about that. That has a potential of going south real quick.
It could be.
I'm hoping for the best, preparing for the worst.
Yeah.
You know? Anyway, it wasn't Gary Busey. I said that Nick Nolte could have played that part in the early 90s.
Yeah, yeah. Because I said that no one else could play that role except for Harbour.
Okay.
All right. So werewolves, pretty easy to kill, right? Just a
also there's the full moon situation.
Yeah, there's
don't go out on full moons.
Yeah, it's only one night out of the month.
I think in that game, The Order for PlayStation, electricity is used. I think there's a thing with running water, like they can't cross running water.
Weird.
I also want to say they're like fire. Fire has been used in classic werewolf stories.
Yeah.
And just holy artifacts. But that's, again, goes hand in hand with vampires.
Right.
Now can you kill these creatures, vampires and werewolves, when they're not in their vampire werewolf mode? So vampires during the day, I think you could kill them when they're sleeping, right?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would assume it's – oh, no, because remember Monster Squad, you had that guy shoot me, I'm a werewolf, and then he comes back.
Oh.
Because he took the gun in the police station and
they shot him with a silver bullet while
that's right.
We don't know where it worked.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
So yes, but you have to kill them in their mortal form with the same methods that you kill them in their immortal form.
But the user experience being much better during the day.
Safer.
than at night.
A little safer to approach you. Yeah.
Right.
Well, the tricky part is getting a silver bullet, though. I mean, there's all kinds of calibers and hollow points and flat points. And I don't think I can go to Cabela's and pick up a silver bullet. Where are you guys getting silver projectiles?
I would just go to Nick Creature because he has he has an arsenal.
In the story I wrote with you, Brad, he just used a silverware launched out of a cannon.
Yes. Okay, there you go. That's what I'm looking for.
Stapled the thing. It was like a Bugs Bunny cartoon. You just saw the forks and knives flying at you.
That's awesome.
Get like a comically large blunderbuss, just shove
it full. That's what it was. So right. Shove full of silverware.
Hell yeah.
Spark that thing.
All right, so you got to go to your grandma's house and you got to get her silver, her fine silver, first of all.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that in itself,
and you just empty the drawer right into the barrel.
Right.
For some of our listeners, it'd be their great grandmother, Brad. We're getting old.
Yeah. What I would probably do is I would try. I don't know if this would work, but I would try to melt it down, which I think I could figure out how to do, and then dip regular bullets in it. Just like dip them. I think that
could you though, Brad? I mean, I imagine you must have intense amount of heat that you cannot produce with anything in your house.
No, silver's pretty has a pretty low melting point. I think you could build a little forge, but the problem is if you dip, let's say if you dip a regular bullet, it's going to be too thick to fit the chamber.
Sure.
Yeah. You're going to really, you're going to have to mold it from a regular.
The melting point of silver is 1,763 degrees Fahrenheit, Joe.
I think you can get it done.
So you can do it in a pizza oven. You can do it in a pizza oven.
I don't know. My pizza oven gets it to 900, which is really hot, but not hot enough.
Maybe. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm really in trouble. So werewolves might be the, you know, the winner here.
The toughest. That's the only realistic,
you know. Bus of forks.
Just stab with a fork.
That's my favorite.
Love it.
All right. Should we move to zombies, fellas? They're my favorite.
Zombies.
They're everybody's favorite, I think.
Plus, you know, everyone knows this. I mean, this is where, you know, headshots come in.
Headshots.
Right. Yeah. Stop with zombies with headshots, right?
Right, right.
That's pretty much all you can do.
Well, I don't know. We could reference, what was that movie with the kid? The funny one. Is Twinkies in it?
Oh, Zombieland.
Zombieland. He's got like 100 rules.
Yes, for sure.
You should almost go through all his rules.
Oh, I've only seen that once when it came out. I don't remember.
Oh, it's good. So funny.
Have you seen the sequels?
No.
Yeah.
No, I haven't seen the sequels. Is it good?
It's, you know, enjoyable. But the first one is just genius. It's so fun.
Here's the rules. Number one, cardio.
Yeah, I got it.
So zombies aren't fast.
Well, number two, is how to survive, not how to kill. Our mission is how to kill, but go ahead.
Right.
Okay. Double tap.
Well,
yep.
Two headshots.
Right. To make one to kill them, two to make sure.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lifetime of reading zombie stories and watching zombie movies has taught me one thing: a small footprint and no entangling alliances, because you assholes are the real monsters. I'm going off by myself and going to live on an island somewhere away from no humans, because it all goes bad when we group up.
Now, I always think about this like in real world terms, like, because this is kind of my secret sicko fantasy, is that I have a reason to move to an island all by myself, away from all the things of man, you know?
Yeah.
That helps some appeal for me. I'm just saying.
Yeah. But again, absolutely, our mission is how to kill these monsters, not how to survive.
I don't know. I think it's how to survive. I think it can be both.
I was going to say, I always feel like canyons and cliffs are underused.
Mm-hmm. Like, for zombies?
Yeah. If you just lead them to a cliff, they're just.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're not going to die.
Doesn't matter. They're not going to get you.
That's true. They've done that in the The Walking Dead.
Oh yeah,
the whole thing where they got
unless
them
you fill
cliff
up the canyon and then they start climbing up each other. Okay. Like in I think they did that in World War Z.
They climbed the wall.
That was a pretty cool scene. Okay, let's talk about fast moving zombies or slow moving zombies. Which are scarier?
Slow moving zombies are scarier, I think.
Right?
Yeah, I think so too.
And I think that's right.
The real antagonist in any good zombie movie are humans.
Mm. Yeah.
And slow moving zombies, I think, help illustrate that point more. You know, the threat is ultimately going to be the people around you who are going to get killed.
I mean, Walking Dead, that's the whole premise of the show, right? I mean, it's right in your face.
And
even Night of the Living Dead. I mean, it's just that between Cooper and Ben, that struggle.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. And that's smart. I mean, that's a smart move. Like, if you're going to write a zombie movie, to put that in it, it just elevates it. So it's for sure a problem.
For the time, holy shit.
Yeah. Right.
So should we put humans on here as number eight? Or number nine?
And you were talking about poison flesh, but I think Walking Dead did that too. Like, they put dead skin on themselves so they would.
Oh, they put the blood of the other zombies on them. Right. They covered themselves in the zombie blood.
That season one, that was when it was good.
Right. Yeah. The other way to kill zombies is to lead them to the Winchester and shoot them with a shotgun.
Lead them to the Winchester? What does that mean?
I thought you meant the Winchester Mystery House.
What's the Winchester?
Come on, guys.
The Winchester
Shaun of the Dead.
Winchester
the bar. The bar.
The bar's the bar.
Well, that doesn't work out for them, as I recall, at the end of that movie.
No, it does. Because they even save their friend, who ends up being a zombie, and they're playing video games in the shed.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Right. It's been a while since I've seen
it. Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen that one, too. Wait, is that the one that's going to be in 3D? Is that the mall?
Oh, no, that's Nick. So at the theater, they were advertising Dawn of the Dead remastered in 3D one night.
Where'd you go see it? Where'd you go?
Was it the Rave? Downtown LA?
No, the LA Live.
LA Live.
LA Live.
Oh, so okay. Have you guys been to the draft house? Have you guys been to the draft house?
No.
No. We wanted to, but I wasn't playing at the time we needed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
So we'll have to go there. Nick, you're invited. We're going to go see Dawn of the Dead in 3D at the draft house.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
The footage they showed, the remastered footage from the trailer, pretty incredible.
Yeah. The original, not the Snyder remake.
Correct.
The original. Okay. Yep.
Romero.
In 3D.
Yeah.
Awesome. I like the Snyder remake fine. I mean, as far as Snyder movies go, Snyder
remake's good.
The best he's ever done, but
yeah.
That's not saying much.
Okay. So zombies. Okay.
Finally, 28 days later, as I recall from the end of that movie, the zombies will eventually run out of sustenance and die.
Out. So you just have to survive.
You just have to survive long enough
in order to kill them.
Right.
For them to die of, you know, unnatural causes.
Wow, going full circle. We survival versus killing, survive to kill them.
Let's get a little bit more esoteric here with Nightmare Child Murderers. Who exist only in dreams. Now, this is a tougher one, I have to tell you. Traditional means, traditional weapons don't seem to work.
Staying awake doesn't work.
Because you can only do that
for so long,
right?
Before you start hallucinating.
Nick, are you a completionist for the Nightmare on Elm Street series?
Well, it depends where the series stops for you.
Where does it stop for you, Nick?
I have an answer. How about you, Nick?
it stops for me at 4. I check out after 4.
Really?
Yeah, I've seen them all, but I check out after 4.
I will allow up to New Nightmare and no more.
Which one's
that? Know what? New Nightmare is okay. At least it was something original. And
is
and
that different. Where they bring back the final
Robert Englund and Heather Langenkamp?
Yeah.
But it's all meta because they're making the movie. They're playing themselves. Fucking Bob Shea is in it.
Right.
I don't think he's been on camera since he was in the leather bar in Nightmare on Elm Street 2 as the bartender. So wearing that apron.
Nightmare on Elm Street 2 is a very difficult, problematic movie.
looking at it through the lens of today, it's way ahead of its time.
Right.
So
I know what you mean. Yeah. Nightmare on Elm Street 2 is all about being gay.
Yep. What?
Is it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
How so? Refresh my memory.
Number one, it stars a scream queen. So, and that's the name of his book. Mark, what's his name? It's like Confessions of a Teenage Scream Queen or something like that. And I mean, the gay undertones, everybody involved with the film denied it at the time. The director, the writer, they were like, what? What's this? You know, what are you talking about?
Like the whole thing is a metaphor, which I think from memory is a very clumsy and problematic metaphor with this young man struggling with his sexuality. But the metaphor that they use is like sexuality equals evil. So that's what I recall. But it's been 10 years since I've seen the film.
Well, there's a lot of
coming out. And he turns into Freddy at the end. Doesn't he become Freddy?
Yeah.
Well, I haven't seen that in forever. I'm going to go back and watch that one. What's interesting about all this is the morality play that these movies become somehow. Like, it's like, to be a final girl, you have to not have sex and not do drugs and not drink. It's like, what were the writers saying back then? Like, don't be gay, don't have sex, don't do drugs, and you will live. Terrible, terrible messaging. It went over our heads back then, but digesting it now is like, oof.
And just back to the series, I think it doesn't get better than 3 and 4. I mean, the deaths in 3 are incredible.
The puppet
puppet where he's being pulled by like his veins and his you know, all his sinew. Oh. And then you got, welcome to prime time, bitch. That image of her just hanging. You know what? I don't think there's a more horrifying image than that girl hanging from the TV after they find her. In that room, that body hanging from the TV with her head stuffed inside it.
And 4, they get into all the Franz Kafka shit. Like, doesn't turn into a cockroach and get squished and all that shit?
Yeah. What else? In 3? Oh, there's the dream child in 3.
You didn't like the dream child.
I didn't like that at all.
Yeah, the heroin stuff where his knife hands become syringes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
The dream child was the one where it was about... that was all the backstory of being trapped in the monastery or in the asylum Freddy's mother, and you saw the little Freddy baby like crawling around.
Oh yeah, that was creepy.
Really disturbing birth scenes. I remember that. Really, really gross. Really disgusting stuff.
Okay.
But about how to defeat Freddy, I think Nightmare on Elm Street 3, The Dream Warriors, has the best answer for that. And that's where you train yourself to be a freaking warrior in your sleep, right?
Yeah.
Aside from the pulling him out of your dream and killing him in the real world.
Yeah.
I bought that. See, that part strains credulity for me.
It works in the Does it work in the Matrix? Like getting Agent Smith out and then killing him.
Yeah. Well, it didn't work in the Matrix. Didn't work in
Nightmare. So it doesn't work. Pulling him in the real world doesn't just makes things worse.
And then I think the other thing, the way that you can combat Freddy is by forgetting him, right? Isn't there something where like if
that was one of them.
Yeah.
That was one of them.
Sounds like he could be defeated with Zoloft or
right. Oh yeah. Destroy your REM sleep. That's a good way to do it.
Right. Take some healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is this our only use case, Brad? Is Freddy?
For nightmare child murderers?
Yeah.
I'm afraid so.
What about, there's got to be others. There's got to be other
nightmare child murderers who, you know, haunt your dreams.
Hmm. Nightmare monsters. Well,
we skipped over number four, but like I was thinking when you wrote sadomasochistic sex demons, I was thinking like succubi.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. What's a cenobite?
I don't know what a cenobite is, but a succubi is like, you know, it's like somebody that, it's like a woman that basically entrances you in your sleep.
She's a sex vampire.
Right. Yes.
Okay, I don't know if I want to kill the sex vampire.
I was going to say, no notes. We can move on.
Like, moving on. That's die happy and shut
that's,
up.
That's right. I'm going to die.
No notes.
Die happy.
Sadomasochist, sex demons, and cenobites. That's Hellraiser. That is the demons from hell that mix pleasure and pain. So it's like sexual ecstasy.
Yeah, that's a whole
blurring the lines with pain and death.
That's a whole bag that I'm not into. Yeah. Hey, Nick, have you seen the new Hellraiser?
No, I haven't.
It's slow.
It's just hard for me to find because I have little kids. Yeah. It's hard for me to find the space to get into those kind of things. By the time the sun goes down, I'm asleep. Yeah. So
yeah, I hear you. I passed out because it was kind of slow, and I've heard it's slow, but some people really like it. So
If you haven't seen the first one, I highly recommend it. It is one of the most fucked up movies I've ever seen.
Oh, of course, Brad.
Okay,
Brad. Just to give you my credentials. In high school, for show and tell, we call it show and tell. What they call it something different here, sharing or something. I don't know. For show and tell, I went in with a prosthetic wrist, right? Yeah. That I cut into with a squib in my palm, with a razor to show that I knew how to do like, you know, horror movie stuff. I like slit my teacher's throat to show up. Like, you couldn't do that nowadays.
This is why you were kicked out of Catholic school, right?
Yeah. Exactly. No. I used to have Fangoria and Gorezone. I used to be this guy, and I don't know what it is, but I think maybe once I had kids, I just stopped. You know what it is? It's not even the kids. I blame it on the kids. I think it's when I left my home where I had a dad who was a cop who could shoot monsters coming in to the house, and I had to live on my own and lock the doors by myself. Maybe then I stopped watching horror movies. I don't know. But it's really weird. They don't do it for me anymore.
Yeah, I'm sensing a kindred spirit here because when I was a kid, we would shoot little movies at school.
Yeah.
I must have been, I think I was in seventh grade, and I live across the street. I went to a Catholic school attached to a church, and the church has like I'd say a 250 foot tower, like a bell tower across. Mm-hmm. And one of the movies I shot, we made a body and threw it off the top of the tower into the middle of the street.
Oh my God. Oh my God. The nuns must have loved that.
Well, we snuck up in the tower. We weren't allowed to go up there. So
we had
some cheap walkie talkies so we could talk to each other from the ground in the tower.
I threw
that fucker right off the top.
I have a statement that's not based on fact. It's just a hypothesis that something about Catholicism over-indexes in producing horror fans.
Absolutely.
I mean, Catholicism is gory, right? I mean, there's a lot of really out there stuff. I was in Spain last summer, and they have like body parts on display in these Catholic churches and everything. They've got like hands of, you know,
saints, you know what, in glass in Italy, cases. Look up, I think it's called Catacombs of the Capuchins, C-A-P-U-C-H-I-N. It's a church just made of like human skulls and skeletons, and it's absolutely insane. Just look up the pictures for it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
Okay, guys, I need to caveat this where I'm not 100% sure that what I'm about to say is accurate, but I'm pretty sure it is. I was touring one of these Catholic churches in Spain, and they had a penis on display.
That sounds about right if it was Catholic.
Yeah.
Keep it in double it,
case. This is the penis of St. Paul the Lesser or something.
St. Paul the Lesser.
Pun intended. Anyhow. Let's get back on track.
I want to get to
know that there's a really too much of a way. I don't know. I haven't seen all the Hellraisers, but I don't know how you combat a Cenobite other than to trap them back in the puzzle box. I think you have to close the puzzle box. Is that all you can do? Isn't that shuts the gate?
Just don't open it.
Earth and
just
hell?
Don't open it. Yeah.
I would not open any puzzle
boxes. Don't. If you see like same thing with gremlins, right? If you see don't feed it after midnight.
But
don't go
cute.
There. But
they're
don't
so
go
cute.
There. I don't care.
Yeah, but what constitutes after midnight?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What time zone, right? But same thing with the puzzle box. Don't open a puzzle box if it has like a razor popping out all of a sudden. Just don't do it. Put it down.
Right. Easy to say, harder to do.
True. So I don't know how to kill these things. I don't care.
Yeah, actually. Pass.
Yeah, let's move on. All right. What I am interested in is unstoppable, but maybe mortal killing machines. Are we talking about our Michael Myers?
Your Jasons.
Not the early Jasons and Michael Myers, because they were humans at some point. And over the course of milking the cow, they became these Franken monsters that it's impossible to kill them. So let's talk about it. Let's dive in.
I thought you meant the Terminator.
Maybe. Yes, he could same thing.
I don't think it's a horror. I don't think Terminator movies are horror movies.
First one was always in the horror section at the video section.
Pretty close.
It was always in the horror section, at least in my
opinion. I'll allow it. I'll allow it, counselor. Yeah. Or well, judge.
Hydraulic press. You kill a Terminator with a hydraulic press or liquid molten metal.
Yep. Brad, we said this before yesterday's movie. Why not like Walter White? These creatures, like has anybody ever done that? You have
the bathtub full of acid.
Acid, you push them in. There's no way.
Like string them out on meth.
That's a great angle. I wonder if it would work.
That's a creative solution.
Yeah, I mean, he was kind of strung out in meth in this movie because he was living in a sewer next to like a homeless guy with a shopping cart, and like he gets wrestled. Nick, I'm gonna spare you for this.
What?
Corey,
you know what? You're making a strong case for me to see this movie.
You almost have to see it to believe it.
See how bad? Yeah,
don't. Corey goes into the sewer after he gets, you know, he falls in love with killing, and because he stared into Michael Myers' eyes, he goes in and he's like, you have one thing I need, and they do this like drunken bar fight, sad. Like wrestling thing, and he steals his mask, and Michael Myers doesn't even chase him. He's like, fuck it.
Oh my god! You know what? I'll watch this movie if we can all get together and do a Mystery Science Theater commentary.
Oh my god! I love that.
That's Patreon content right there.
So 100%. I'm game for that. I'll watch it, and then and then we can get together.
We'll put it on YouTube. It'll be like our first Our Pod Sucks, you know, bonus content YouTube video. I'm down.
I could do that.
This movie is. All right. So how do we kill them? I think the only way to kill these mortal killing machines are immortal. I don't know. It says mortal. But maybe mortal is total annihilation. Right. So in this movie, they throw them in a car grinder. I don't even know what you call that thing. You could do a wood chip. You said, Brad, that was your idea.
Yeah. Going into the movie, I was only going to accept two outcomes. And one of them was a wood chipper. And that's essentially what happened in the movie.
Yeah,
like, I don't know, because in Monster Squad, when they're watching Groundhog Day at the drive-in, and Sean and his dad are sitting on the roof talking about it.
Yeah.
He said he comes back. He goes, you can't kill him. Even if you blew him up, put all the parts in a blender, and then mailed the rest to like Brazil, put it in the envelope and mailed it to Brazil, he'd still come back. And Sean says, hey, that was part 9 or something like that.
All right.
So I don't know if Total Undead, just put them in the chipper works.
Well, the one thing that always works to bring them back is to go, oh, we're starting again from episode one.
Oh, Dave. Yes. Great point, Joe. And Dave, you had the actual real answer, and the real answer for how you kill Michael Myers for good is to make a movie so bad nobody sees it and doesn't make any money.
And that's exactly what they did. Yeah. Brad, we were both right. You got your wood chipper and I got my bad script.
That's literally the only way to kill them. Yes, absolutely.
So this entire episode is about Hollywood. Halloween ends, in case our users haven't figured that out.
Oh, no. Sounds good. Next up, we have cryptids. Joe, what is a cryptid?
Well, a cryptid is basically a legendary creature. And I would love to hear if you guys have any input on this, because there's a fine line between like legendary ghostly creatures and creatures that we believe might exist, like Bigfoot's a cryptid, Mothman's a cryptid,
Loch Ness Monster
is a cryptid. But then, like, you know, in England, there's a legendary creature like Jenny Greenteeth, who like pulls kids into the lakes, or in Australia, there's the Bunyip. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think there's a fine line.
Like, the water babies, like the Indian culture. Yes. If you hear the baby crying near the lake and you go near the lake and you see a little hand come out of the water, don't try to save it because it'll pull you in there.
Right.
So they're animals that may exist in the wild, but they're not believed by mainstream science. Like, it's like, maybe they're out there.
Well, and some were. I mean, like the giant squid was quote unquote a cryptid until it was discovered. The platypus was a cryptid until there was proof of it. So I'd love to believe that in this world, there are things we haven't discovered yet.
Right. Right.
Especially like way deep in the sea or in the deep jungles of like Malaysia or something.
Yeah.
How about you guys? Have you any experience, local folklore, things that you thought you might've seen or heard? Dave, you and I probably, of course, the Jersey Devil.
I mean, before I answer that question, Joe, I have to say, I know the answer to this one. How to kill cryptids is don't, because they're probably extinct or near extinct animals, and you should actually just film them, record them, and tag them.
Well, I actually included a link in our outline. Weird news: hunting laws of cryptids. They're endangered, they're clearly near extinct, and
just leave them alone.
You can't kill Bigfoots.
leave Bigfoot alone. Okay, he's just trying to survive.
So ghosts, let's move on to ghosts. You know, I live up near Porter Ranch where they filmed Poltergeist. That is actually the first horror movie that I ever saw. My dad decided to show that to me when I was 6 years old. And as a result, I didn't watch another horror movie until I was 17.
It is a good one.
Yeah.
It's not terribly scary today, but like as a 6 year old, the part where he's peeling his face off is pretty rough.
Yeah,
good. The whole closet thing and
the guy who peels his skin off in the mirror, the guy that runs like the sound equipment and stuff.
Exactly. You know, like today I can really appreciate the special effects, which are pretty apparent how they did it, but it's still really, really neat.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
But as a 6 year old, it didn't read like a special effect at all. Like this was just a guy who was peeling his face off.
That's right. I lived in mortal fear of my braces attacking me after Poltergeist.
I wouldn't eat fried chicken for a year.
Yeah.
So how do you kill ghosts? Proton packs, obviously.
There you go. That's it.
Containment units and
don't get slimed. Back on
the urban legend, like I was saying, up in Lone Pine, there's it's at the base of Mount Whitney, and they film, it's the Alabama Hills. They filmed a lot of Westerns there, like everything from Gunga Din to the last Westerns. Even Maverick during the 90s, they filmed up there. There's a film museum there that has hundreds and hundreds of movies that are, it showcases hundreds of movies that were shot up there from contemporary to when film started. And I guess a long time ago, there was an earthquake that killed like the entire population, or damn near decimated the population up there. So the ghost stories coming out of that place are crazy. I know there's a local legend called like the Lone Pine Mountain Devil. I would assume it's like the Jersey Devil. Mm. And there's a it's fierce but territorial. The last time I heard it about it was on a street up there around the town, or in a nearby town called Mummy Lane. Have you ever heard of this Mummy Lane place?
No.
It's apparently a cul-de-sac where when you drive down, it's on a lonely road. It's a cul-de-sac. And when you drive down it, it's longer on the way back once you turn around than it is driving in. And you can supposedly see this thing watching you from the trees. Apparently there was a witch house at the end of the block. And the story is the reason maybe that's why it's longer on the way out is when you drive in and you turn around, you look in your rear view mirror. If you watch in your rear view mirror, you can apparently see the witch house being burned down and something coming out. Yeah, it's like a Bloody Mary or a Candyman story. But all these people swear by it. You know,
I love it.
There's also another local legend of up in the Alabama Hills. There's these rocks called the Three Sisters. They look like three nuns. It's just a rock formation. Mm-hmm. It's three nuns silhouetted against the moon. But apparently there was an accident up there where some people died in a car or somebody died in the crash or was horribly injured in the crash. And a woman that was in the car got out looking for help, and she walks the road at night. And people have actually picked her up and brought her into town looking for help, and she disappears.
Yep.
But
I don't know how to destroy any of those. Just don't go those places.
Yeah, that's it. Just don't go to
Lone Pine. We had one of those real quick where we drive, and there were like people would come out. They say, so we used to shut off our lights in our car and like freak each other out. I think a lot of these stories are just ways to scare each other. Right. Yeah. You know, they're like campfire stories.
Right. Yeah,
So,
weird New Jersey site about stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Down here in San Pedro, you got a serial killer story up in Palos Verdes. It's just like, don't go near that road.
Don't go there. No, don't do it. Yeah. So where are we on the list, guys? I think we have like one more, and it's a good one.
Evil
dolls. A really good one. What is it, Brad?
Evil dolls.
And how did this come out? You know what we didn't put on here? Clowns. I think clowns and evil dolls kind of like...
Killer clowns.
It's like the stuff we're supposed to find beautiful and wonderful and mm-hmm. funny as kids, but it has that kind of dark side if you look at it the wrong way. Like dolls can be creepy. Their eyes.
Yeah, that uncanny valley.
Yes, sure, that's what it is.
And killer clowns, like, well, we need to distinguish whether we're talking about, you know, the demon variety or the outer space variety.
Right.
Let's move on to evil dolls, though.
Yeah, let's just stick with dolls. Let's skip the clowns for now. We don't want to terrify people entirely.
Evil dolls we're talking about are Chucky's, and then there's a new one that's coming out about a robot doll. Yeah. What's it called?
Megan.
I think it's Megan. Yeah.
You saw the trailer yesterday?
I hope it's good. It probably won't be, but I hope it's good because I think that's a nice twist on it.
Yeah.
Because really with these robots, I think that's even scarier than the dolls because there's no way the dolls are really going to come to life.
Yeah.
I mean, supernaturally. Yeah.
It's kind of like Chucky meets Ex Machina. It's like AI. It's like an AI Chucky.
Yeah. And she does like TikTok dances about eight times in the trailer.
Yeah. And they're horrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah. My favorite's Karen Black. What is it? Trilogy of Terror, where she has the evil like tiki doll that's stalking her around the house in the 70s. That was incredible.
How does she kill that doll? Let's start there.
That's the biggest. She doesn't. She becomes the doll.
She becomes the doll.
But she has the same like teeth and everything at the end. Spoiler.
So I think we could put that in there in our user journey as one way to kill these things is to become them, right? If you can't beat it, join it.
Right.
Sure. That's what I would do.
I think extreme doll makeover, like turning them into like when Itchy and Scratchy became friends and like lemonade parties.
Well, that was my next point, actually, is like, you know, usually with an evil doll, they're going to have a switch on the back that says evil or good. And you make sure that it's set to good.
Yes. Yes. Good one, Brad. Good one. I
would just say kick it. I don't know why. I really don't understand why Chucky lasted five movies. You're like,
right. Right. Are you saying that the vertically impaired, Joe, are not, we shouldn't take them as seriously as taller?
Obviously, Dave. Obviously. All right. Well, since Chucky came out of like the height of like 80s cheese ball, like.
Did you say height? There you go
height,
again.
The height of.
I think dolls are in the same category as unstoppable killing machines, right? Because they grind them up.
You burn them or you grind them up.
Yeah, you burn them or it's like falls in that zombie category.
Yeah. So
Do evil cars and evil dolls, evil trucks, evil cars, and evil dogs fall under that same category?
Oh, Cujo.
Maximum Overdrive.
Maximum Overdrive.
Yeah,
guys, I think we solved it. I'm going to wrap it up like this. I'm going to say nothing short of total annihilation, and then even then, for some of these monsters, that doesn't work. Yeah. Right? Don't be the final girl who stabs the guy one time and he's laying there, quote unquote, lifeless, and you walk away to have sex and a beer. Don't do it. Don't be that guy.
Double tap.
Double tap. Exactly.
Let's go round robin and talk about like some Halloween recommendations, right? Like, so we've been talking about a lot of horror movies. What, Nick, let's start with you. Like, what would you recommend people consume this Halloween season and for some thrills and chills?
I have an 8 and 9 year old. So I've been giving them a crash course on like old, like classic horror or like cult. Nice. Horror. So we've watched a lot. I took my son to Black Lagoon in 3D, of course, because it was playing at the Draft House.
Sweet.
But so whenever it's playing, we go check it out, and he absolutely loves it. He can't get enough of it. Yeah. But recently, we watched the other night. I showed him Fiend Without a Face. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie.
Nope.
It's late 50s, early 60s. It's a British movie, but it's the monster. It's about an Air Force base on the Canadian border, and they're doing atomic testing. And there's a local scientist that lives nearby who's doing some ESP kind of brainwave testing. Mm-hmm. And when the two combine, there's an outbreak of these monsters that look like little crawling brains with spinal cords attached.
Oh, yes.
And the showdown in that movie. The final scene of the brain monsters invading the farmhouse is like, it's like the end of Night of the Living Dead with just walking brains coming at you. It's incredible. The boys loved it. We also watched William Castle's 13 Ghosts.
I have seen that.
They ate that up. That's an incredible watch. But bar none, on if it's Halloween or near Halloween, I would just advise everybody to give a listen to an old radio drama called The House on Cypress Canyon. If you can find that and listen to that in the dark, you're in for a hell of a ride. And it's damn near, I'd say it's damn near 80 years old.
Yeah.
And pound for pound, it's as scary as anything that comes out today.
1946, we will link it in the episode description if anybody wants to check it out.
Yeah, give that thing a listen to, and if nice. You're a horror fan, you'll absolutely love it.
Yeah.
Beyond that, I would say I'm also playing a couple of games. I would revisit Dead Space.
The remaster.
Not the remaster. The original. It holds up, and I don't know if there's a game with better sound design.
Yeah.
Out there.
Yeah.
Play that in the dark.
Yeah.
As well as the original Condemned, I think that's a hell of a thing too.
Good. All right, dude.
Mine's going to be quick. Can I jump in?
Yeah.
I'm a big fan. You know, Nick, I'm a fellow writer. I haven't written in forever, unfortunately. But one script I did write was set on a bog in Ireland, and it was very supernatural thriller, and it took folklore seriously. And for me, the scariest stuff has always been, and I did a little, as you were talking, I was like looking to get a list because my brain is old and doesn't work right. So I had to refresh my memory, and I'm glad I did because it validated exactly what I love about horror. And that's kind of like the supernatural, psychological thrillers, right? And their top, it's like a top 25, it's on IGN.com, are all ones that I would throw in this this batch. The Shining, which was like one of my choices.
Oh, sure.
The Exorcist. Sure. Psycho, like all of these. Halloween, of course, also a slasher flick, but more so in the psychological one for the first one, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Anything that's off screen that deals with humans, going back to this episode, number one on the list, monster to kill humans, right? So, I mean, the human psyche is just terrifying. It can be really made terrifying. So that for me, I guess I'd pick out of those. Maybe The Shining is one because it's just so, just so heavy.
I watch it about four times a year.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic movie.
Yeah.
Who's next? Joe?
I guess growing up, my horror was, I had all those like cheap dollar book club books that were like ghost stories, famous ghost stories from history. And so like, I like kind of the more cerebral, spooky, eerie. There was a couple years ago, that movie, The Witch. That was pretty great.
Oh, I absolutely love that movie.
Yeah. And then I would go back to some of the stuff you're talking about, like Rosemary's Baby or Amityville and Exorcist. But honestly, I don't know if it counts as a horror story. It was one of the best movies ever. I'd watch it every year around Halloween, only because it has ghosts in it. Ghostbusters. Hilarious.
Yeah,
great movie.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Nice. Brad?
Yeah, well, kind of along the lines of Nick, you know, I'm looking at stuff that I can consume with my daughter, who's 9. So this season on the playlist is going to be Addams Family Values. I like that better than the first one. Addams Family, I think, is perfect too, but I think Addams Family Values is a little bit better. And then going back to some of the classics that she hasn't seen that I'm ready to introduce her to, the 1950-ish Invasion of the Body Snatchers, one of my favorite movies. And I think I'm oscillating between Frankenstein and Bride of Frankenstein to introduce her to.
Do both
are great.
Well, you know what? Yeah. Young Frankenstein, man. That's on our list. Well,
Young Frankenstein I watch every 3 weeks.
Okay. Yeah. That's on my list for the boys. And we're also going to watch the next up for us, I think, is the Lucas Haas classic Lady in White.
Cool.
Nice.
Mid-80s ghost serial killer movie.
Yeah.
Guys, I'm getting thirsty. I'm getting really powerfully thirsty. It's so strange.
Do you want to, we should go get a...
They're hurting.
Yeah.
My gums kind of like, oh, my God.
Oh, Brad.
I have this thirst. I have to can't. Anyway, let's wrap this up. We appear to have, you know, we've survived through the night. So that means that that's our episode. The sun's coming up. So that means that I really have this unexplainable desire to get into a dark space quick. God, and I got to drink something.
Brad, get away from my neck. What are you doing, dude? This is weird.
Wow. That looks like, can you see that? What is that throbbing vein in your neck?
Like your so pajamas great. Are really silky though, Brad.
Well, anyway, Nick, thank you for saving our lives and joining us today, man. Thank you for joining us. Good times.
As I said, anytime, man, anytime. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Sucks Podcast, S-U-C-K-S. We're wishing you health and immortality, a never-ending thirst for blood, an existence away from sunlight, a well-designed death, and good experiences.
We have an intern?
We did.
They're eating him!
Your line, Joe.
Wow. Is that how you direct Dave? Dave,
you're lying. Justin! They're eating his guts! What the fuck?
Guys, I don't see how we're going to get out of this one. It's been an honor, fellas.
Oh, God. We're so bad at this.
All right.
We deserve to die.